السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Something that is extremely important is our tarbiyat and also the tarbiyat of our children, upbringing of our children. And the most important thing in a person's life is a person's iman. Iman is the most important thing. Everything else stems from there. If the iman is contaminated, if there is no iman, or a person has unfortunately adopted certain beliefs that go against deen, against Islam, now the person's aqaid becomes corrupted, then there is no chance for any success for this person in the akhirat. This person dies on disbelief. So we have to be very, very careful regarding our iman. In this zamana, when everyone is just on the internet and AI and ChatGPT, all these different things, now we feel we can just ask a question there. We want to know something, we can do our own research here. And many adults as well as youth, they are getting misled. People are latching on to wrong information, incorrect information. Sometimes the information also may be there, it may be correct, but we don't know how to unpack it. We don't know in what context it needs to be understood. In the late 70s, early 80s, late 70s, the Iranian Revolution took place. That is when the reign of Khomeini began. So at that time, there wasn't so much of communication and media and everything like we have in our times. Then there were not even so many ulama also. Right? And I remember one alim pointing out to me, he said that you will find many professionals, that means people who studied in university, they got some sort of degree, etc. Those who were studying during that time, many of them are very sympathetic to Iran. Because when they were in university at that time, they picketed. I mean, there was like a whole excitement that now this revolution took place, and outwardly it was made to seem that this is, you know, an Islamic revolution. Later on, people came to realize that this was an Iranian revolution, not an Islamic revolution. So much so that even ulama at that time, who are known to be very, you know, hardline, who speak out against every type of falsehood, right? Some of them also got caught up. And they too, in the initial days, they published articles and newspapers praising the whole Iranian revolution. And later on, when the dust settled and they realized that, hey, this got nothing to do with Islam, then they retracted their statements. But others who read it, and it suited the narrative at that time, suited what people's emotions were going through at that time. And some people, their iman also got contaminated. Not only by reading these articles, but by what was going on. Right? You see, when a person takes to something, and he becomes passionate about it, and he's emotional about it. Now when you try to reason with the person, it becomes a big argument. And that person wants to now look for ammunition to shoot you down. He just wants to win the argument. So that's what was happening at that time also. So something that I came to learn, I mentioned with regards to a bayan that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had given on Shiism. And Shiism is a bayan that was doing its rounds on social media, and I mentioned it on Jummah. Listen to this bayan that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had given. So after this bayan was being circulated, so Maulana Ahmad mentioned to me that when Hazrat had given this bayan, then Hazrat saw a dream after that, some basharat. So eventually we got to, with Maulana's doing some homework, etc., we got to the to a direct somebody who heard this thing directly from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is Maulana Ahmad Muhammadi Sahab from the Jamiat. So he heard this dream directly from Azmaiz Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. And then he explained to Maulana Ahmad some details regarding this whole bayan, etc., that took place. So there were two, there may have been many bayans, but the two Jummah bayans that is being spoken about. One is a Jummah bayan that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had given in the late 70s in West Street. So at that time, Maulana Ansari Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was the Imam in West Street, and he would give all the Jummah bayans. And according to Maulana Ahmad Muhammadi Sahab, he mentions that there are very few people that could match his Jummah bayan. In 20 minutes, comprehensive, he would cover the topic and he would just talk for 20 minutes and that's it. But the community started changing. More people were not understanding Urdu. The younger people knew English, and now there was a need for English-speaking ulama who could talk, give the bayans in English. So then Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to be given the mimbar, used to be given the opportunity to give the bayan there. But Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Muhammadi Sahab mentions that Maulana Ansari Sahab was so strict that Hazrat had to first write the whole bayan out in Urdu and give it to him. He must read it, vet it, and then only he would be able to give the bayan. So in that time, now when all this thing was happening, this Iranian revolution now was taking place. And there was excitement, euphoria, people are, you know, everybody is getting so taken away with this thing. So at that time, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was a young man, right, and a senior, people were also carried away with this whole thing. So going against the tide, these were our akabirin. They didn't worry about now how many followers I'm going to have and not have. Something of haq that needs to be spoken, it needs to be spoken. Whether people are happy with it, whether they're not happy about it, but you're doing it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, it's your duty. Some people's iman is at stake. Something needs to be done, something needs to be spoken. So those people that keep on with this trumpet, that no, Azmaish Patil Sahab, you are so understanding, so tolerant, you know, accommodated everybody, yes, to a point. Not to include batil also. Not to include batil, that if somebody was doing wrong, then Hazrat Rahmatullahi would just keep quiet about it. So many times we heard him in the bayans, when people were marching in the streets, he spoke out against it. When people were going for all these so-called Islamic fairs, going there and what was happening in there, as it spoke out about it. When one school there in Durban, when some fair used to take place there, so now it coincided with some sporting event. I don't know, it was cricket or soccer or something. So now these people were concerned that they won't pull the crowds because the men won't bring their wives. Because the men want to sit at home, one who's billah, and watch the soccer, and the women, one who's billah, want to go to the fair. So it was an unfair situation to her. So now what they decided, that no, they'll put one marquee there, and they'll put big screen TVs there. So the men can come and watch the sports there, while their wives can move around in the fair. So that time Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he spoke out against this. In the weekly majlis that Hazrat used to have, he spoke out against this. So these people were very upset, the organizers and all, they were very upset. So they must have phoned him to complain or whatever. So in the Jummah Bayan, he spoke out against it again. And he said, these people phoned me. But he spoke out again against it. So he never shied away. When something was wrong, then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was very, very firm. Very, very firm. Today, this tolerance card and must be what? Accept, you know, different views and all that. It's being stretched to accept even that which is impermissible. To accept that which is even falsehood. And many children are getting carried away. So somebody has to speak. So coming back to that bayan, so Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, that particular bayan, he ducked Maulana Ansari. He didn't prepare the thing in Urdu to give it to Maulana Ansari. And then on the day of Jumu'ah, he spoke out. Now at that time when almost everyone was caught up in that euphoria, even senior people, and don't talk about the awamun nas, they were all like so excited, like the Muslims at last, they're doing something, like, you know. And now Hazrat is speaking totally against the tide. So he got such backlash from the whole community. Everybody was so upset with him, so angry with him, that how can he talk like that and all. And he's a young man that time. He wasn't now what we know him towards the end of his life. He was still a young man at that time. And everybody was now like against him. So then, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had a dream. And in that dream, he is lying down. On one side is Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And one side is Hazrat Mona Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali is telling Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Bacha ne bohut accha takreer kiya. Young, in the dream, they are elders, seniors. That time Hazrat was a young person. So Hazrat Thanvi is telling Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib that Bacha ne bohut achhi takreer kiya. that this young man is given an excellent bayan. Gave a very good bayan he gave. So at that time now, when everybody was talking against him, then Allah Ta'ala showed him a dream that where he seen his seniors and they are praising him. And later on, then many of the ulama also who were caught up in this thing, they too made ruju from whatever they were saying. And then they realized that this thing got nothing to do with Islam. This got nothing to do with Islam. This is their own thing, the Iranian revolution. And the Shi'i, all to do with Shi'ism, etc. So, Shaitan keeps playing the same tricks. That time it was the Iranian revolution. In our zamana is the Iran-American war. Now again people are caught up in a similar type, not as bad as that type, but in a similar kind of thing. Some people are really caught up. Some people are really, really caught up. And some even people who are knowledgeable people too are caught up in this whole thing. So at any given time, anything that happens, we must always check, is this thing going to affect my iman? Will this affect my iman? Because I can't allow for my iman to be affected. And my children, is their iman being affected? Am I communicating with them? Am I talking to them? See, you get people who follow sports, right? So some people follow soccer, some different sports people follow. Now if you ask the young man or the adult that the sport that you're following, do you regard it to be your religion? Same. See, these players that you are idolizing, do you worship them? Say no. So despite him not worshipping them, he doesn't consider the sport to be his religion. Right? But he will go on praising them. He will go on when he's so passionate in his communication, when he's talking with his friends and all that, and especially if there is somebody who is, you know, supporting another team, he's supporting another team and those teams are playing, then just see how they can go for it. How knowledgeable he is about that team. He may be able to tell you what size tackies each player wears to. Everything he knows about them, what watch they wear, what this they wear, what that. Forget only what position they're playing on the field. So much history, biography he knows about them too. All the players and everything. Right? And he can argue, and sometimes they can get into a fight also. They get hot under the collar now in the arguments about that team. Now, they themselves saying, it's not our religion. We don't worship these people. It's just by the way, but if it's just by the way, I just follow the sport, why are you getting so worked up about it? If they lose, why are you in a depression? If they win, why are you so excited? Why are you going and buying so expensive t-shirt like this? You must have daytime t-shirt, why? Some people are even keeping their children's names, the names of those players. Just let there be one Muslim player in that team. They'll keep that the name of the, if they're supporting that team. Then they even making hairstyle like those players. So without realizing what's happening, the person doesn't argue about deen that much. He doesn't praise anything about deen that much. He doesn't get so upset if he misses one takbir ula. No. But for that team, he is so passionate. It's upset, somebody talks something against the team, somebody says something wrong. If they won 3-0 and somebody says they won only 2-0, oh, tamasha. He is so upset. Right? So what's happening to him inside? Although outwardly he's saying, "Oh, that's not my religion. I don't worship those prayers." But inside there's something else happening. Inside there's something else happening. Now this is what happens when a person starts supporting a cause or starts supporting a thing. So you'll find our youth, and even adults also, not only the youth, can't only blame the youth, across the board. Now, if for example, a person is praising Iran or is talking something about Iran, and if you try to point out to him, see, by these people, they're not fighting for Islam. So, at the least, he'll tell you, don't be sectarian. That's a mild rebuke. That now is not the time to bring about sectarian differences. Right? That's a mild one. And then it gets worse. So if you ask him, that why are you sympathetic to Shiism? He'll tell you no. He'll tell you no. So do you agree with the beliefs of the Shias? He'll tell you no. That's a separate topic, we're not talking about that. So then when it's being pointed out to you that these people's belief is wrong, why are you getting so hot under the collar? Why are you getting so upset? It shows something is affecting you inside, isn't it? Something is affecting you inside. Now all the time when you're going to read this thing, every comic that comes out in praise, because these Iranians, I mentioned this to you a good few times, their systems of operating are like the Yahud. Right? Because they are handled by the Yahud. They're handled by the Yahud. They've been tutored by the Yahud. Right? The Yahud are the people who made this whole Shiism. So when it comes to media, if you are looking for anything in Deen and you punch it in that Google, the first couple of sites that are going to come up are going to be Shi'i sites. They're very active in media. So in this war thing also, they're very active, making all short clips and this and that, all praising how strong Iran is and how powerful Iran is, right? So in the end, you got to ask yourself, you see, you got to use your akal. In the end now, when it came to this so-called ceasefire, if these people were there for Islam, if they were there for Muslims, like how all the people were saying, that these are the only people standing up for Palestine, these are the only people standing up for the Muslim cause, right? So if they were standing up for the Muslim cause, and if the way it's being made out to seem in the media that they are so powerful that Trump got trumped, he was brought to his knees and he was just waiting for the ceasefire, you know, to come out, like get out of jail free card for him, like, you know, to. So if it was like that, that they had such an upper hand in this whole thing, and their weaponry and everything is so superior to the Yahud and to America. So why didn't these people include in their ceasefire deal that all American troops must be out of Gaza? No more bombing in Gaza. Why didn't they include that no more bombing in Lebanon? No bombing day in Beirut and all that. Finish. Nothing. They're only worried about a ceasefire for themselves. So we ask the same question, that when that Gaza was being bombed to smithereens, so all the superior firepower that you supposedly have, that the Iron Dome too is nothing for you, America's planes are nothing for you. Nothing. You are so superior, Iran. So why you never use it when so many thousands of people were being massacred, their body parts were being blown apart. Where were you at that time? Only when you got bombed, and I say supposedly, then all of a sudden all your weaponry came out. So we realize that if everything is as they are saying, then too it's an Iranian cause. It's not an Islamic cause. They're not there for the Muslims. They're not there for Gaza. They are not there for Islam. We got to understand this thing. Now we can say it to those who are truly seeking the truth. Those who are caught up and they just want to argue and fight and they just want to believe what their brains are telling them. Now we can't tell them anything. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala make them realize and Allah Ta'ala protect their iman. See, I just want to touch on something very quickly. Shaitan, he knows very well that no matter what guna a person commits, as long as the person got iman, right, he turns to Allah Ta'ala and asks for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But what Allah Ta'ala doesn't forgive is if a person dies on kufr, shirk, in all its forms, atheism, whatever. Person dies on a false belief. Now that person is destined to Jahannam. Right? So, in the end of times, before Qiyamah, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that era, that people will kill more swiftly than animals and birds of prey. So swift they'll be in killing. Right? People will be totally behaya. Shameless, they will be committing zina like donkeys on the road. Right? There will be no scruples, nothing, everything will be chaos. Right? So at that time, when there's nothing, there's no morality left, right? Absolutely nothing, then too shaitan won't be satisfied. Shaitan will come to the people at that time in the guise of a pious person. A wise, pious man, he'll come and he'll ask them, are you not going to listen? In other words, in our terminology, when are you going to change your life? How long are you going to continue with all this evil? Now, end of the day, insan got some conscience, right? Insan got some conscience. Now when this thing is pointed out to him, that by think, man, how you're living, what you're doing. So they'll ask him, so what we must do? What we must do now? So he will tell them that you must start worshipping. And then he will get them involved in shirk, in worshipping idols. Now you think to yourself, why must he do that? I mean, these people are like, there's no morality in them, right? They're doing every type of evil. Why will he still go and get them involved in shirk? Because he knows that no matter what evil they are doing, if somebody from there could make tawbah and istighfar, there is a chance Allah will forgive him. There is a chance Allah Ta'ala will forgive the person. But if a person dies on kufr and shirk, there's no chance. So you'll get them involved in shirk. Get them involved in kufr and shirk. So with a mu'min, can he come and give a mu'min an idol? Can't come give a mu'min an idol. So he gets the mu'min involved in batil beliefs. Batil beliefs, false beliefs. Like now you get bid'ah. Now you get Shiism, you get Qadianism, all these different belief systems. Now a person gets carried away with something, and something goes off in his mind, and he starts believing something, which is not supposed to believe in. And now he has lost. So we have to keep renewing our iman. Keep renewing our iman, reminding ourselves what our belief system is, those of us that have children, teenage children, even younger than that, engage them, talk to them. And if we find that something is not right, if we don't have the knowledge to speak to them, go to an alim. Take the child to an alim. Let him sit, let that alim explain to him, listen to him, see what he's saying. There was a child, I'm talking about here in Masjid al-Taqwa, in Peter Marisburg. There was a child who was coming daily with his father for salah. Father used to be sitting after namaz for a long while reading Quran Sharif, night surahs, everything. Son used to be waiting for the father. His friends, this boy's friends, came to show me what kufr this boy was talking on their group, friends group. And kufr, he's not talking kufr in like guna and things like that. He's talking kufr, he's making kufriya statements about the wars that are taking place. That if Allah Ta'ala, wa nauzu billah, if Allah Ta'ala was merciful, then why is killing so many babies? Why is not protecting all these babies? What sin did these babies commit? If Allah Ta'ala was so powerful, why is not stopping the war? Why is letting the war carry on? If Islam was the correct religion, then why the Muslims are being oppressed and downtrodden? Now these are the kind of things, and when they are trying to explain to him, then he is uttering further words closer to kufr. But he's sitting in the masjid every day. He's coming for salah every day. But what's in his mind? I told you all about this student who came, and he said, I accept everything, but evolution has to be true. That Darwin's theory of evolution, that has to be true. Now he's in a home where mother is in parda, father is a namazi, went for umrah, everything. But he's believing in evolution. Now, can a person have iman? Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect our iman, keep us with strong iman, take us from the dunya with our iman intact.
Allah Allah ki sa pyara naam hai aashiqo ka meena aur jaam mein Allah jalla jalaluhu la ilaha illallah la ilaha illallah la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah Allah inche shiri nastanam shiro shakkar mi shawajjanam tamam Allah jalla jalaluhu Allah 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 Allah
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا غفور الرحيم يا رؤوف الرحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا رحم المساكين يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام. نسألك يا الله يا رحمن بجلالك ونور وجهك. Oh Allah, oh our most beloved Allah, kind Allah, loving Allah, forgiving Allah, tolerant Allah, caring Allah, oh our Allah who loves to forgive. Oh our Allah who becomes pleased when his bandas turn to him for forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us, oh Allah. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, the sins that we committed, ya Allah, openly, discreetly, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, in the brightness of day, in the darkness of night. Ya Allah, the sins we committed with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongues, with our hands, with our feet, the filthy thoughts in our minds, oh Allah, in our hearts, oh Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every guna, oh Allah. Ya Allah, remove each and every sin from our book of deeds, oh Allah. Ya Allah, erase it, ya Allah, from the memory of our limbs, from the memory of the malaika, from the memory of earth, oh Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, you cleanse us, purify us. Ya Allah, make our hearts mujalla, musaffa, muzakka. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, our asatiza, our mashayikh. Ya Allah, forgive our spouses, forgive our family members, our friends, our children, O Allah. Those whose haq is upon us, ihsan is upon us, those who have asked us to make dua for them, O Allah. Forgive all the marhumin, marhumat, O Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasul-e Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Bless us all with hidayat, O Allah. Put us all on sirat-e-mustaqim. Ya Allah, protect our iman, O Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with your love. Bless us with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us tawfiq to live our lives within the parameters of the Shariat. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make amal upon the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, ya Allah, you grant us, O Allah, ease and afiyat, O Allah. Grant us sihat, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours and you become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, you know the jaiz hajat within the hearts of each and every one. Fulfill each and every person's jaiz hajat. You know the problems and difficulties that each one may be facing. You assist and help each and every one of us in our problems, our challenges, our difficulties. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place, O Allah. Take all the works of deen from strength to strength, O Allah. Ya Allah, we have abandoned jihad, O Allah. We have abandoned making amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, O Allah. We have abandoned giving da'wat to Islam, O Allah. Ya Allah, you give us tawfiq to bring all those things back in our heads, O Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us, O Allah. You protect us, O Allah. You bless us, O Allah. Ya Allah, take each and every one of us to Haramain Sharifain. Ya Allah, take us to Masjidul Aqsa, O Allah. Ya Allah, bring about halat of aman and peace in the Muslim lands, O Allah. Ya Allah, remove us from the clutches of our nafs, of shaitan. Ya Allah, remove the love of the lifestyles of the kuffar from our lives and our hearts and minds, O Allah. Let us fall in love with our shariat and the sunnat of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept each and every one of us for your deen. Accept our children and our progeny to come till Qiyamah for your deen, O Allah. Ya Allah, you be pleased with us, O Allah. Overlook our shortcomings, our weaknesses, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridha bil qadaa wa nas'aluka barda al 'aysh ba'da al maut wa nas'aluka ladhdhata al nawari ila wajhik wa ash-shawqa ila liqa'ik. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.